Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. Just because with the second wave of COVID and all of that, we're seeing really low attendance in the first service. And so rather than keeping the team here doing this twice, we feel like the best use of everybody's energy and time is to just do the 10 a.m. service. So everybody got that? We're going to do the 10 a.m. service, one, until Easter. We'll come back with two, and then we're going to gauge it and see where it's at by then. So, but that's going to be good because, too, the time change, you know, and then it's hard to get up early. So 10 is 9, right? So tell your neighbors, tell everybody you know. We're good. We're going back to the to just one service for a few more months. Okay. This morning I have a good word for you. It's a very practical word. I'm going to do more teaching than preaching this morning, but we need to be taught. Amen. And I have been in this series now on the peace of God, and it's an old series I wrote 3 years ago, but it's fresh, it's new, and I felt. Well, I know, didn't just feel. I had a word from the Holy Spirit that I was to come back to this and teach it because it is absolutely the word of the hour. And it is on walking in the peace of God amid this chaos that we're in right now. We are in one of the greatest worldwide storms, demonic storms that the world has ever seen. There is political unrest. There is social unrest. There is financial unrest all throughout the world right now. There is a lot of people that you love, I love, that are carrying more chaos, more the atmosphere of hell. And we don't want to patronize people. We don't want to demonize people. We don't want to be ugly to people. In fact, we're called to love them. But we also need to know how to guard our peace. We need to know how to create an atmosphere of peace within our homes so that we can be healthy. And as I have been teaching you, we are to be peace carriers, peace emitters. And why this is so important is because when we have an atmosphere of chaos going on inside of us and our thought life can actually be toxic, we start to break our body down. Because what happens at the thought level affects the organ of our heart. And as I've been teaching that, you know, the heart is the only organ in the body that has brain cells in it. So it's like a checking station for what is our mind is saying and whatever's coming from our head. Once it hits there, it gets in our blood, it affects everything, goes out and starts to destroy us at the cellular level. And one of the best voices on this whole subject is Dr. Caroline Leaf. And she wrote a book years ago called Switch Your Brain On. And it's a very good book. I recommend it. I've read it a couple times, and I've taught on it several times. But the Lord wants us to get this message deep in us. It's more than just, oh, he's going to give you the peace that passes all understanding. No, this is absolutely essential and vital in this hour. Because we have a soul that God gave us that lives, you know, it operates inside of this vessel, this matter, this flesh that we call the body. And our soul has doors. Our soul has doors, and the Holy Spirit gave us the responsibility of keeping the doors closed or opening the doors. We have that ability to make the choice. And I'm going to come back to that in a moment, but when God created Adam, he created the matter. He created light first. Remember? The Holy Spirit was hovering over the chaos. He was brooding. And it says that before he began to create, he was looking at all that. And the first thing that the Lord says after he looks at all that says, I've got to bring order to this. Got to start to create now. He says, let there be light. Let there be light. It's a known fact that the smallest particle in the universe is a light wave with sound. Think about that. Let there be light. God spoke. He made sound. So at the very, very core of who we are, at the deepest place of our cellular level, we are created to bear light. Man was born from light. God created him. And now it said in the word that great peace have those who love the word of God, who love Jesus. It says that they will never be irritated, they will never be frustrated, they will never be offended, nor will they stumble around in the dark. So what does this have to do with peace? It has everything to do with peace. Man was thrown into darkness because of sin, but Jesus, the light of the world, the Prince of Peace, came to restore man back to himself, back to the light, back to peace. Amen? Man was supposed to be emitting peace in the garden. Man was supposed to be filled with light, filled with peace, and he was supposed to bring that to everything that he was around. It leaked from him. It emitted from him. We've also learned that a person that carries that kind of toxicity and chaos, and it, everything around them begins to be destroyed, begins to minimize, begins to shrink, begins to go backwards. But a person who walks in peace, a person who emits light, a person who, you can call them positive vibes. I'm not into this whole New Age thing. That is not what I'm teaching here. But we are walking around emitting vibration. We are. And we are affecting one another. It's scientifically proven that every person is emitting an energy. We know that spirit, an energy field of 5 to 15 feet radius. So in this atmosphere right now, God is calling the church to stay healthy. We can't, like I said this morning, we can't wait for a vaccine from without to come into our body and put foreign particles in our body to be well. We are the bride of Christ, and we have the peace of God. We have the light of the world. We have everything we need to emit the Spirit of God through the matter, through the flesh, and into the atmospheres that we're at, and to bring healing and to bring wholeness and to bring peace to everywhere we go. Amen? And so I'm going to teach you today. The sermon is called Shut the Door. But we have a door to our soul, and it's up to us. Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the gate. Look, come in, right? Receive me. Come into the kingdom. I'm going to come up and live inside of you. I'm going to reconcile you. I'm going to make peace between you and God the Father. Now I'm going to live inside of you, and you're going to have the ability to appropriate and tap into the very person and presence of who I am at any given moment. There can be a storm. There can be a pandemic. There can be all these things going on outside of you. But just because there's a storm outside of you doesn't mean there needs to be one inside of you. Amen? And so, but you have to be the one to be that guardian of your soul and make sure that you know how to keep the door closed to the enemy. And so, on the subject of a door, I'm going to come to Revelations here in a moment, which is the end of the age when the Lord is talking to the end time church. But it really begins in Genesis with Cain and Abel. Cain is jealous because his brother's offering is favored by God. So he kills him. And the Lord comes to Cain and he says, what have you done? Your brother's blood is crying out from the earth. You know what? Blood is crying out. It's speaking. It has sound waves and light in it. Or sound waves in darkness. And so here's the blood crying out from the earth. And God hears it. And he says, sin is crouching at your door. So in other words, he speaks to Cain about this door within his soul that he has opened with anger and jealousy and all of this stuff. And he's saying, look, there's a sound that has come from the behavior that you have engaged in. And heaven is hearing it. Yes? Why? Because it got caught up in here, went down into the heart, got in the blood, got pumped all the way out into, you know, his soul. He kills his brother. He spills his brother's blood. His brother's blood is crying out light. His blood's crying out darkness. God, heaven, is hearing this kind of thing. And he comes and he talks to him about his soul, the condition of his soul, and this door that he has opened to the devil. And I know that's a lot of information. I'm trying to kind of keep it like in a very understandable vein here. But to sum it all up, we have physical doors on our house for a reason. We lock those doors at night. We put security systems on our home. Because we don't want the bad guy to come in. Believe me, I have just experienced this. I don't want that in my house. But I also have doors on my house so that I can have privacy. I can have intimacy. I can dwell within this residence and have a safe place to live, to lie my head down at night, to conduct my life. And the same way that I need to keep the door closed to the bad guys, we need to keep the door closed to the enemy right now. But if Jesus comes knocking on my door, I want to make sure that I open the door to him. So when you decide that you're going to be a person that emits peace, that you're going to create an atmosphere of peace in your home, correct? You're going to need to do some things in order to maintain that atmosphere within your home. And I'm not advocating that you be mean to people, that you're rude to people, but I am advocating that you take care of your space. You take care of your inner life and that you take care of your home life and that you begin to set some boundaries in this season. Here's the thing. You can keep the door closed to the bad guy without. But we also, and I grew up with, you know, the television was a double box, but we give so much airtime. If it's not in our house, it's coming through this. We can get it on the car. We can get it wherever we are. But there is so many voices coming at us right now, voices of stress, voices of anxiety. I mean, we have statistics just being pumped at us. And there are people that are more enamored with the statistics of the pandemic than they are the statistics of heaven. There are people that are going to come and vomit on you all of the chaos that they refuse to take charge over and responsibility for. And listen, if we can't just blame it on them. We have been given the power of self-control. One of the greatest gifts the Holy Spirit gave us was sovereignty over our own soul. Correct? He gave us self-control. So in this season, I am advocating that you identify peace stealers and that you learn how to navigate your way through this, because at the very core of what I'm trying to teach you is this. We don't know when this thing is going to end. We don't know what's going to happen right now, even with the elections. We don't know what is on the horizon fully for this coming year. And there's so much hope. There's so much because we serve the God of hope, right? We know that God's going to turn all things together for our good. We know that. But darkness is also out there. There's going to be darkness. There's going to be chaos. There's going to be things that we bump into that should not be getting inside of us. Amen? So we got to learn to keep the door closed to peace stealers and those who carry more of the atmosphere of hell than heaven and refuse to take control of their soul. We got to keep the door open to those who carry more of the atmosphere of heaven and operate under self-control. And many times we lose our peace because we don't set healthy boundaries. And obviously we don't want to keep the door closed to Jesus, but here's what I'm finding. People are having a hard time even engaging in intimacy with God because of all the chaos, the stress, all of the stuff that's happening. And in this hour, we need intimacy with God. Any husband and wife knows this. It's very difficult to find time to actually have FaceTime. And I'm not talking about FaceTime on your phone. I'm talking about really sitting down and hearing each other's heart and even having intimacy with one another when there's stress and there's chaos and the house is in unrest and there's all this stuff going on. And I feel like the church is at that place right now where God is actually knocking on the door. We're at that revelation place in Revelation 3 where he's talking twofold. He's saying, return to your first love. In other words, the fire that you once had for me is kind of waning. And he's saying, I'm standing at the door. Here he uses the language of the door. In Revelation 3:20, he says, I'm standing at the door of the church and continually I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him. And that's not just eat. If you look at that word, it means fellowship and restore. I will come in and restore him and he with me. God is knocking right now. Many of us have had time away from work, time away from, you know, even being in the house of the Lord or whatever because we were forced to, but we are the house of the Lord. We are the house that he's knocking on. And, you know, we need that fellowship with him, not just when we're together corporately at Greenleaf Court, but when we are alone at home. And it's up to us in this hour to open that door to the Lord. You think about that. Here's the promise of Jesus saying, I'll come in and I'll restore you. And the enemy, on the other hand, if he were speaking to the end time church, he'd say, hey, keep the door open to me. Let me stay in here and destroy you. Jesus said the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So the enemy wants you to keep the door open to him so he can destroy you. The Lord wants you to keep the door open to him so he can restore you. And I really believe that we have to become good guardians of our life. So it's important to know who to shut the door to and who to open the door to. If they're bringing more hell than heaven, it's time to shut the door. Now, you know, through the word, you could get dogmatic about one scripture. You know, don't forget to entertain strangers, for in doing so you've entertained angels unaware, blah, 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 blah. Love it. Okay, that's a stranger. That's someone you've never met before. That's someone that, you know, comes to your door. That's what, because we don't have time to censor every single body. That's not what I'm talking about. We should help the helpless. We should help the hurting. We should, you know, we should be hospitable. But the Bible does not say we should leave the door open all the time to all people who do just anything they want to do in our presence. Let's balance this out. Jesus, in fact, said there is going to be people who refuse the gospel of peace. And he sent the disciples out. This was right at the beginning of the founding of the church. He sent them out and he said, go into these towns. And he says, as my messengers of peace. Now, he hadn't even died on the cross yet. Go out and preach a message of peace. And he's saying, when you go there and you begin to share this gospel of peace, right? If they refuse you, if they don't want anything to do with it, as my messengers of shalom, wholeness, restoration, peace, nothing missing, nothing lacking in me, the Christ. If they refuse, he's very clear in the word of God. In Matthew 10, he says, if that family in that house is worthy and they're welcoming of that peace, they welcome you. He says, here's what you do. You release your peace, you peace out, you emit peace, you speak a word of peace over this home. And he says that it's a blessing of well-being and prosperity and the favor of God. Think about that. That's what I'm getting to, is you should be able to release well-being, prosperity, favor, all because of the release of God's peace coming from your life. Amen? He says, but they don't want nothing to do with it. If they're chaotic, they're blaming God, they're just, you know, they're just rude and all kinds of crazy. He says, shake the dust off your feet. In other words, wash your hands of it. I don't even want the darkness that they're walking into to stick to the bottom of your feet. Because I don't want you walking in that darkness. Why? Because in that house, there's sound particles that are either filled with darkness or filled with light. Think about that. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're saying, whatever you're carrying, it sits down and it resides and it leaks into the very atmosphere of your home. And God is saying, I don't even want it on your feet. And what he said to them, he says, shake it off. And he says, break it off in contempt, breaking all ties, breaking all ties, breaking ties. That's breaking soul ties with that atmosphere and those souls that lived on that land. Oh, my goodness. One of the greatest compliments that you can pay me in my entire life, and it's my constant prayer, is that when people walk across the threshold of that door or into my home, that they encounter the resting presence of God to such a degree that it marks their life forever. When Dr. Barbara and Tim came here from Raleigh, and they said, we did not want to leave your home. They were weeping. They had been there 10 minutes, and Pastor Tim already started crying. He's like, wow. Wow. And it's true. Because I have become a guardian of my home. And I make sure that I fill the atmosphere. They say, what do you do? What's your formula? I said, I worship him. If I'm not singing, there's worship going on in the atmosphere. Someone else is doing it for me. But these walls, they say if walls could speak, mine can. My walls can speak. and they do speak, because there is so much sound and so much light that has been emitted on that property. That's what scared that robber that came in. I never seen someone so scared in my life. He bolted so hard he almost broke his neck on the way down the stairs. Yeah? That man's going to be indelibly changed forever, because he got on a property where there was light. Amen? Could not touch me. I didn't die. I was not harmed at all. And I give God all the glory for that. But here's what Jesus said. He said, it's going to be more tolerable. Think about that. It's going to be more tolerable for that city, for that, you know, family, on the day of judgment, than the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because they rejected the Messiah's messengers. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. There it is. It'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah. Think about what he did to that land. It'll be more tolerable for that, for Sodom and Gomorrah, than for that family, that city, that land. Why? Because they refused the message, the gospel of peace. The Prince of Peace was without, sending them out, prefacing everything. He's coming. One day he will not just be without, he will be within. Do not reject him. Do not reject the message. And he's saying already, look, if they won't, give them a chance. Give them a chance to open the door to you. Give them a chance. But if they reject, if they refuse, if they won't, get it off of you and get going. Amen? And so when we have a constant critic, I'm not talking about someone who gives you good feedback, a constant critic, those who do more tearing you down than more building you up. You need to build a wall. You need to build a boundary. You need to do something that moves them to a different location. And sometimes that means you have to move away from them. You have to keep a boundary. You have to shut the door. And you know, many times we don't set a boundary because we're afraid somebody will be mad at us. We're afraid it's going to hurt them. You know, there's a difference between hurting someone and harming them. And many times it's the hurt of a boundary that could change their life. You go to the dentist, does he hurt you? Yeah. But does he harm you? Hopefully not. The hurt actually leads to a healing. The hurt actually leads to pain going away. Yes? And many times we're unwilling to have someone experience the hurt of telling them the truth. Look, I cannot engage in any more of this demonic processing with you. I've already told you many times that, you know, God's not to blame for all the chaos in the world. He gave man dominion over the earth. It's either the devil and man's decisions under the influence of the devil that has caused all of this. And in God, in fact, he won't even intervene unless we pray and invite him to. Because he's a just God, he won't override our will. So, you know, why does God get all the blame? And you've got that person, they blame God, they blame you, they blame, you know, they just want a scapegoat. Anybody that they can blame so they do not have to take personal responsibility for their own inner life and their own choices, right? And these are the kind of people that at some point when you have counseled them, and I'm a teacher, I love to teach. I'll take them to the Word and show them what they need to do. But I'm not going to, you know, exhaust all of my emotional reserve going around the mountain with someone who refuses to take personal responsibility for the truth that they've already received. Somebody's saying amen, you're getting delivered. So there are people that we need to shut the door to, and sometimes they're within our own home. But what I'm saying to you is this, you can't just throw your kids out on the curb because, you know, they're 13 and giving you problems and they're a little peace stealer, right? But we do need to set an example for them. But I'm talking about, you know, use godly wisdom. But there are certain people that say, I'm your friend, but they don't do anything friendly for you. In fact, they carry so much of the atmosphere of hell that that's not friendly. It's not healthy, okay? And so I really feel that even in this season, God is refining friendships. And he's saying to you, look, I gave you a vessel. It's my vessel. It's my temple. It's the place that I gave you to carry out the destiny that I have for you. So don't get in agreement with hell yourself, but also you're going to need to set some boundaries and also guard the peace that I have put on the inside of you. You need to see the storm coming and then assume a posture of peace. You need to be the one to subdue the storm rather than get in agreement with the storm, right? Because I want you to be well. So we need to shut the door to those who create emotional havoc and disturbances and never give you any emotional support. There are those certain people, and this is not everyone. There's a small demographic of people. They have no ability to understand that other people have needs besides them. Yes? You're going through the darkest night of your life, and they still think that you are the city dump. Right? And it's always about what they need and their drama, and you've been around the mountain. And so then if you set a boundary with them, you have a DNR policy, which I have, is a do not respond. Okay? Now listen, you're a big meanie because you're unavailable. Listen, you have to be willing to set that boundary and feel the detachment of that person that draws on you more than God. Point them to the Lord. But you have to keep the door closed if that is their MO. Yes. So those that blame you, God and others, for their constant misery, you're going to need to shut a door. Those that refuse your godly wisdom, but demand more of your time and finances and use you as a means to their end. I shared with for service, I had this situation recently where, I was reading in the scriptures, it says that the world will know us by our love one for another. But in the Amplified, it also uses this language, also for your unselfish concern for one another. Unselfish. Think about that. You show concern without a selfish motive. That's what unselfish concern is. So it's so refreshing. And one day, all in the same day, I got two of the very same comments, questions. First one, how are you? I've been thinking about you all day. My first discernment was, they don't care how I'm doing. They've been thinking about me all day because they're thinking about how I can bail them out of jail, how I can pay their bills, how I can give them drug money, how they can tell me another sob story about something that they keep doing that I've already corrected them in. Hello? I've discerned that. The Lord just showed me. So I would DNR, do not respond. By the afternoon, because they probably hit up everybody else that they thought they could show some selfish concern to, and they didn't get their way, I get the real reason they text me. Oh, this is going on. I need this. I need that. Da 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 da. And I'm like, that's selfish concern. So I kept the door closed to that. Literally, right after I get this big long thing, and I've gotten to the point now where I will not even explain, well, you know what, because I've taught for years. Okay, no, I'm not going to do that because every time you spend it on drugs or, it's the same story and, I'm just not. Sometimes you just got to stop. Just stop. Because this is pulling you in. You start a text feed with them and it's just like, I love that message by T.D. Jake, The Gift of Goodbye. Real talk, Kim, The Gift of Block. Blocking is your friend, right? Seriously, though, right after that happened, someone with a genuine heart that carries the atmosphere of heaven, that just loves me, texts me and said, I've been thinking about you all day. How are you doing? I knew that was unselfish concern. Immediately, I start texting them back. Thank you so much for, just checking on me. It means the world to me, whatever. Not one time. Hey, can you come bail me out? Can you buy me this? Can you buy me that? No. We've got to know where the storm is, assume the posture of peace, but we need to keep the door shut. Yes? And so you got to know who to coach back to the goal, but you also need to know who to shut the door to. And this is very helpful. So also, those that have a pessimistic, defeated, despondent crisis to tell all the time. All the time. It's like, here it comes. They pick the most salacious, the most negative story they could possibly find. If they don't have one, they'll borrow one from the news. They'll borrow one from somebody else. You don't understand. You're not going to get godly wisdom on their lips. It's not going to come. There's no edification. There's no exhortation. There's no encouragement. And I'm not saying we're hanging around only with Christians. I'm just saying, look, we are to be salt and light in the world. We should be carrying the peace of God wherever we go. But as we start to build relationships with people and as we start teaching people how to do what we do, we've got to recognize those that aren't willing. They refuse the message of peace. They just won't do it. The Bible says that a man who's just constantly angry, just mad, is like a city without walls. Think about that. There's that language again. Like a city without walls. I'm saying, look, close the door, build a higher wall, put chicken wire on it, put electrocution wire on the top if you need to. Zappers, I don't know what you have to do, but let them know. Not doing this. Not doing it. Those who engage in ungodly behavior with no desire to change, who constantly try to drag you into sin with them and mock you when you take a stand. I've had people that, you know, hey, do this, do that, come do this with us. And I'm like, you know what? There's no self-control here. There's no moderation here. This thing's going to slip into an atmosphere I got myself out of years ago with God's help, and I am not going back into that. Understand? Nothing good happens after about an hour of this socializing. So I'm not doing that. And then it's like, oh, you think you're better than us? You think you're all that in a bag of chips? You think you're holier than thou? Listen, I'm like, yeah, I am holier than thou. I also know what it feels like to stay up with you and do what you're doing and try to get up the next day and be cognizant and fulfill the destiny that God has on my life and not doing it, right? But those kind of people that mock you, that have no respect for your time, your energy, your boundaries, your destiny. Listen, God is visiting us right now. He's given us a visitation of destiny. And I really believe that in this hour, we need to be able to let go of the little foxes that spoil the vine. We need to shut the door to the stuff that's going to drag us backwards. And we need to move forward in this season, filled with peace, emitting peace, whole, healthy, wise. We got to keep the door shut to those who don't accept us and celebrate our successes, those who want to control, criticize, and tear us down. And here is the wisest man that ever lived, Proverbs 14:7, this Solomon, and he said, leave the presence of a short-sighted fool. That is not something that seeker-sensitive churches preach. I'm sensitive to seekers, but I'm not going to stick around with a bunch of people who are just spewing ungodliness. Solomon said, you're not going to find godliness on their lips. You're not going to hear godly wisdom from their lips. You're not going to find knowledge. If you find someone that has godly wisdom on their lips, they have knowledge. Look, they may go through grief. They may go through a hard time. They may cry or whatever. But they're not going to sit there, you know, the same song. You know what you're going to find around them? Yeah, I'm grieving, but he walks through the valley of the shadow of death with me. He's near to the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds and he comforts their sorrows. And he brings them up out of this place and puts them out in a spacious and an advantageous place. And man, there's good things on the horizon. And I may be in a season where I feel the darkness trying to consume me, but I'm going to walk in the light even as he is in the light. And in the Father, there is no shadow of turning. He's not going to turn away from me. He's not going to turn against me. I'm staying close to Dad right now. And you know what I feel? I feel his presence more than I've ever felt his presence before. And this season is not the fullness of my destiny. There are better days ahead. This is what you find when you get around somebody, not some pessimistic, negative story about, you know, just constantly about the downer side of life. Amen? Solomon says you're going to have to get away from them. So you need to build a network and open the door to those who emit peace and bring calm, comfort, and encouragement to your life. Those who worship God, those who trust God and believe with you for his promises to come to pass in your life. You need to get around people that honor the word of God and give sound, godly wisdom. You need to receive godly wisdom and get around those that are willing to receive it, right? Those that are willing to apply it to their lives. I love being around someone who can just share with me, you know, I was just struggling with jealousy. I've been having this anger issue, you know, and they're talking about how God is doing a deep work in these areas of their life. Well, I love those conversations Because they're not just being negative. They're just saying, these are things I've been dealing with, and these are some things that were happening as a result. Guess what? God's transforming me. I'm willing to hang around with somebody like that because I see them applying the word of God to their life. Open the door to those that respect your time. Those that are faith-filled and talk more about victory than defeat. Those that honor others and speak well of them in their absence. Oh, listen, we all went through our little immature baby stage where somebody did wrong and I want to get together and process with somebody else about what they did behind their back. We got to stop that. If you haven't stopped that, you need to stop that. Right? I love getting around people. I know what happened. I was there. I saw it. But they have a different story to tell. They've taken that to the prayer closet. They've processed that out with the Lord. They don't talk negatively about people in their absence. That's one of the surefire ways for me to know I'm dealing with someone that I may potentially need to shut the door to. If I can't tell them, hey, they're not here to defend themselves, so we probably shouldn't do that. Right? If they don't take offense to that, most people would be like, yeah, you know, you're right. Whatever. It's just, we just shut it down. Let's not do that. Because that doesn't bring peace. It doesn't promote health. It doesn't create an atmosphere where God can come in and actually saturate us and sit down in that. You know what happens? When he comes, praise has been released. Think about that. He inhabits the praises of his people. He doesn't inhabit the gossip of his people. He doesn't inhabit the slander of his people. He doesn't inhabit all this pessimistic, negative, doubt-filled, God-blaming, anger, you know, all the stuff that is kind of circulating around. You want God in it? Start praising God. In the middle of the pain, find a way to praise God. Turn it to the Lord. Turn the conversation to the Lord. And you know what I found? Those that want chaos, that don't want peace, they book out anyways. They go find somewhere, you know, mama said birds of a feather flock together. It's true. They go find somebody else so they can all be on the same wavelength. Yes? I'm telling you how to keep that door shut. You got to shut it for your own good. Open the door to those engaged in godly behavior and are committed to growing, and those that change the things that God shows them that needs to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. And here's what I want to end on today. Your network will either make you or break you. When you choose to be a person who emits peace, you will no longer be able to keep those in your inner circle that aren't committed to it as well. That just doesn't work. You obviously can't shut the whole world out, but you can decide who you need to love and pray for from a distance. So be wise. Don't open the door to everyone. But always open the door to those who carry the Spirit of Christ. There are going to be people in this hour that are hurting. People that are helpless. People that need God. And I say open the door. Bring them in. Love them. Let them experience what you have stewarded and what you have guarded and what you have created. Right? Disciple them. Teach them. But do not give them permission because of a lack of boundaries, because of a lack of truth. Do not give them permission to continue to stay in that state of mind. Because you're not loving them well if you do. You got to teach them. We talk different here. We live different here. This doesn't work in this world. If you go in their home and there's chaos and all of that, you know, you can't come in as the preacher, the prophet, the teacher. You're just going to let it straighten everybody out. That'd be great, huh? I'm here. If you don't, I'm shaking the dust off my feet, shutting the door, never see you again. Listen, we're going to be around our family members, and many of them are in that place. What I'm saying is, whatever they leak out, keep the door closed here. Keep the door closed in your soul and don't retain all that and don't take it all in. If you do, pick it up for a minute. Take it to prayer. Cast it on him, not on them. And maintain and hold your peace. Because God is about to use you as a sign and wonder during the season. Your health is going to be better. Your home life is going to be better. Your relationships are going to be better. And I believe you're going to lead a whole bunch of people to the Lord. Amen. And amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the challenge of it, the practicality of it. We take it in. Give us the wisdom, Lord, to know who's a baby and who's someone that just needs to mature in this area. Teach us, Lord, who we are to pick up and rock and coddle and teach and love and emit peace upon. And then those that we are to shut the door to because they just won't receive it. Help us, Lord, to maintain the peace that you give. Help us to come into optimal health. I pray that every person under the sound of my voice has a relationship with you, Jesus. You are the Prince of Peace. And we don't have wisdom to steward our soul without you. We need you. We need you for eternal life. We need you for abundant life here until we see you face to face. You may be listening today and never have received Jesus, and I want to give you an opportunity to do that. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the life giver. He is the only way to eternal life. And he says, come to me and I won't cast you out. I will not reject you. I never, never will. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And those who believe in me will have eternal life. Simple faith. It's just faith. Put your faith in him. And we're just going to pray a prayer with you to do that. But you can expect that things are about to change in your life. You're going to feel supernatural calm. You're going to feel supernatural love. You're going to feel supernatural peace like you have never felt before. And you're going to be able to emit this peace wherever you go, as I've taught today, for your own well-being and for the well-being of those around you. Pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I receive you now by faith as my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins and trust in your free gift of salvation. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. I know I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Listen, if you prayed that for the first time, all of heaven's thrown a party. Your name was just inscribed and written into the Lamb's Book of Life. No one can snatch you out of the hand of the Father. You have a purpose and a role on this earth. And today is the beginning of the rest of your life. Get out there. There's a storm out there that needs you to subdue it. Go walk in peace in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You could also share with your friends. Click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at SoulHarvestWC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.